Well, good evening, everybody, and thanks very much, Phil, for leading us through that psalm. My name is Hamish, as Matty said. It's great to have you with us. Particularly warm welcome, as he said, to you. If this is your first time tuning in to our church live stream, or in fact, to any church live stream, it's a great privilege that you give up some of your Sunday evening to be with us. We really hope that this evening is not only of interest to you, but is actually helpful to you in not only answering this question, but with grappling with the claims of Jesus Christ. We want to make no assumptions tonight. Some of us listening are going to be Christian people who follow him. Some will be interested, not sure of what they believe about Jesus and yet trying to figure things out. Some may well be listening as straight skeptics, people who are really unpersuaded of the claims of Christianity, but you're listening in because a friend has invited you or you've stumbled across this stream. Whoever you are, you're hugely welcome. And as Matty said, please do send an email to that email address. It's at the top of the handout, which you can find on the order of service that might be of use to you as we embark tonight. And I hope that this is a helpful evening to everybody listening, because the question we're dealing with, whether we can find hope in a broken world, is one that is really important, whoever we are and whatever we believe. And I say that really because I'm assuming that for all of us, hope really matters. But why does hope matter? It may seem like an odd question to examine. We may just take it for granted that hope matters. But actually, it's worth doing. Because in a world such as our own, and we'll spend a little bit of time thinking about why hope really does matter, the need we all have for something to get us through the day, the month, the year, even the years ahead, the need for that speaks to a need for a hope that is solid and lasting. Whatever it is that you are putting your hope in, it needs to bear the weight of your full life, doesn't it? It may well be, though, that if you're listening as someone who isn't persuaded that hope matters, well, my hope is that this evening you may change your mind somewhat. And more than that, that I can, with some help, as we work our way through and ultimately look at what the Bible says, point you to some solid grounds for hope. But it is something that is common to all of us, I think, whether we declare it or not, that hope in something outside of ourselves is critical, something that is an anchor for the mind and the soul, and that orients us for the future, something perhaps that gives meaning and dignity to our present, no matter what it is we're going through. You may well be familiar with the quote that comes from the poem written by Emily Dickinson, the American poet of the mid-19th century. Hope is the thing with feathers. I just want to read it out to you because it's a lovely, simple capturing of the importance of hope for all of us. Hope is the thing with feathers, she writes, that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. And sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that could abash the little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me. It's a lovely statement of a pretty generic hope, isn't it? Just that bird that sings to our souls, whatever the weather, whatever the occasion, whatever the situation, and yet doesn't ask anything of us, but only gives to us. But the question before us this evening is whether in the face of a broken world, we really can have that sort of true hope. And are the things we place our hopes in able to stand, in the language of Dickinson, the gales that blow today? Two academics in America, Anne Case and Angus Deighton, economists themselves, coined a striking phrase for our present era, that they spoke and wrote of diseases of despair, things that kill people through the straight lack of hope that can be found in life. Alcoholism, suicide, loneliness itself, all are diseases of despair. And a recent study from the Wellbeing Trust in the US estimated that in America alone, COVID-19 could lead directly or indirectly to 75,000 deaths of despair. And COVID is merely an extreme example of something that strips away our solid certainties in life. And as those certainties get stripped away, as the veil we build around our life and ultimately our death get ripped back, it can be a profoundly uncomfortable thing. The reality of COVID, though, has been felt so clearly by so many of us, hasn't it? Because it's been in our countries, it's been in our counties, it's been in our care homes, it's been in our communities. And that has led to a real reckoning for the world of what really lasts and what really counts. Now, there are other things out there, though, aren't there, that shake our certainties. Very vivid and emotional discussions about race, loaded questions about gender and human identity, the ongoing wrangling over politics. It feels that out in the public square and maybe in our own hearts, there is an awful lot of spoken certainty around, but very little true solidity. The volume may be high, but what of the convictions that they rest on? So I hope you agree with me that hope really matters. And for the remainder of our time this evening, I want us to do two things. First, I want to ask a question of each one of us listening, and then to together suggest and consider the Christian answer to where we find hope. Here's the question, though, first, and I'd love you to really grapple with this personally as you listen in. What is it right now that you put your hope in? Now, what is it that you put your hope in? And here's the key thing. Is it solid? You see, that there are lots of things, I think, just observing our world, observing my own heart and those around me who I love and live with. There are lots of things that we place our hope in that are outside of ourselves. So you might meet person X who's placing their hope in their family, whether that's their children or their parents or their siblings. And they look at them and they say, there is where I find meaning and identity and a purpose and a solid anchor point in the storm. It may be that you know someone or you are someone yourself whose hope is less in your family, but actually resides out in the world, and a desire and a hope and a campaign for a better world environmentally. It's been striking, hasn't it, reading of how this recent corona crisis has led to carbon emissions going down in some parts of the world as fewer cars are out there. It's not been great for plastic, I know, with the insistence and the proliferation of masks and various surgical things. But as we look at the world around us, that desire and passion, the Extinction Rebellion drive for a better world environmentally can be what gets us through the day. And for some, there's a hope for a better world in terms of justice, less about the environment and more about our shared lives as human beings. And for others, it might be a little bit less altruistic than that. We can hope in our career or our future retirement, the money that we're earning and the lifestyle that we aspire to. We could go on and multiply examples. There are lots of other things out there in the world that we might look to as an anchor point. If you're not, though, looking for something outside yourself, I mean, the other option for hope, I suggest, is to look inside ourselves. We might say that we are the captain of our soul. We are the masters of our destiny. We don't need something out there to keep us going. But either way, whether your hope right now is placed in yourself or outside of yourself, is it really solid? You see, ultimately, I would say that human history, human experience, God's word itself, if you've never read the Bible for yourself, please grab hold of it and read it with a friend, and you would see that it gives the same verdict. Ultimately, everything that we put our hope in this world will not last. Think of the things outside of ourselves, whether that's family or people, relationships, the world. Well, those things ultimately will let us down, for the world we live in is broken. You'd only need to flick onto the BBC news site or whatever your news provider of choice is, and you would see that our world is messed up, that we are messed up, and that the weight of hope that we so often ask others to bear is beyond their own fragile hearts and lives to manage. What of trusting in yourself and finding hope in yourself? Well, speaking purely personally, I let myself down, let alone letting other people down. I can't live up to my own standards, let alone those of those around me, let alone of the God who made me and who made you as you listen in. There's one big word the Bible uses to speak of that reality, which is sin. It's got lots of different parts to it. You may want to ask me about that in an email to talk about together afterwards. But as we lean on ourselves, we find that we are mere broken reeds. that in rejecting the God who has made us and in casting off his love, we act in hatred towards those around us rather than in self-giving service, and we put ourselves first. And ultimately, then we cannot bear the weight of hope. Supremely, of course, we face the grave. Another thing that the coronavirus has revealed so starkly is the reality of death. So out there, that won't bear the weight. In here, I can't bear the weight, let alone just the vagaries of life around us, the things that may or may not happen, whether we put that down to chance or to providence. Wherever we look, those things we put our hopes in, well, they will not last. And so we're left with hope as this very weightless thing. Hope that something might happen, but then again, it might not. And in fact, isn't that the very definition our world uses so often of hope itself? Something good that we really want to happen, but we're just not sure if it will. And in fact, increasingly as we go through life, we fear that it won't. Growing up, one of our staple family comedy films that we enjoyed was Clockwise, with John Cleese playing a manic and somewhat frustrating, it must be said, a headmaster of a school who goes through all sorts of trials and terrors trying to get to a headmaster's conference. And at one point, he's in absolute straits. He says to his partner, "It's not the despair, Laura. I can take the despair. It's the hope I can't stand." And you may well be able to resonate with him, but perhaps with less of the laughs. Put more soberly, the German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche put it this way: hope in reality is the worst of all evils because it prolongs the torments of man. Now, listening to that, you may well think that Friedrich would not be first on your list of invitations for a post-lockdown barbecue, and you know, you may well be right. But actually, I want to say that if hope is something that may happen but probably won't, if hope is based on things that cannot last, then here he is right. That hope that is no hope, in reality, is the worst of all evils, because it stops us facing up to the reality of things as they are, if there is no solid hope. You know, hope in a closed world of just atoms knocking around, it can only be down to chance, nothing certain. And yet, as you listen into that, it may well be that it doesn't ring true for you. That you look at the world around you, you look at your own sin and brokenness, and you're left longing for hope. In fact, you're left needing hope. Certainly, we all, I would say, set our hope on things, but we wonder if they will not just collapse underneath us. So the inevitable question comes, where then can true hope be found? In the griefs of your own life now? In the realities of the world around us, in the midst of our own brokenness and badness and shared sadness, is there true hope? Well, wonderfully, the answer that Christianity would give is the answer that Jesus Christ himself would give. A resounding yes, that in a broken world, true hope can be found. And that's our second point this evening. Well, where can true hope be found? Sunday school answer, it's found in Jesus. But I don't just want to state that to you. I'd love to show that to you from the Bible itself. It's why on the order of service in front of you, if you're looking at it, there's just a little bit of Jesus's words quoted there from John's gospel. There was an eyewitness account written by one of his closest friends. And here in John chapter 11, and please do grab hold of a Bible or a gospel and check out later with a friend that I'm not just trying to pull the wool over your eyes here. But Jesus is speaking into the most bleak situation you can imagine, death. Death ultimately is the end point, isn't it, of human existence. COVID has revealed that with a very sharp and metallically bitter clarity to our own culture, where so often we put death to the margins. And Martha and Mary, two sisters, have just lost their brother, one of Jesus's closest friends. He has died. Mary, the younger sister, who we don't meet in this dialogue, she is hopeless at this point. She can't even come and meet Jesus. So grief-stricken is she? And in fact, so perhaps angry is she that Jesus didn't come to help? And you can see even Martha's words, if you look down with me at the start, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And you see, death as we see it here, death without hope, is a hideous thing. The musician Phil Elverum, who writes and sings under the title of Mount Eerie, wrote an album after the death of his then wife called Real Death is the song. And I've never read or listened really to a more stark grappling with graveside realities absent of hope than this. Listen to this. He says, death is real. Someone's there and then they're not. And it's not for singing about. It's not for making into art. When real death enters the house, all poetry is done. When I walk into the room where you were and look into the emptiness instead, all fails. My knees fail, my brain fails, words fail. And maybe you can feel that grief. Maybe you know that grief. Well, it is into this situation that Jesus speaks. Martha, as you'll see as you look down, has a hope deferred. She's lost her brother. And she says to Jesus, I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Many Jews of the day believed that God would raise the righteous dead back to life. But at the end of time, when this figure, the Messiah, would come and make all things new. And then Jesus says to her some of the most staggering words you can. Jesus says, look, you've got this hope deferred. Well, he actually says, no, hope is here in me now. Just listen to these words of Jesus and consider the courage it would take to say this to a grieving soul. All the hardness it would take to say this if you knew it was not true. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. I mean, it is a staggering claim, isn't it? We may say, if we're not following Jesus or you're not persuaded of who he is, that it is an outrageous claim. How can he say that? I mean, how can anyone, even on his behalf, say that? How can I say it to you this evening, that there is one, Jesus Christ, who is in himself the very answer to sin and to death and even to hell, that the final punishment for all who reject God? How can we do that? Well, because he is the one who not only calls people from the grave, and this chapter ends with him saying, Lazarus, come out, but he is the one himself who comes from the grave. As he speaks of himself being the resurrection and the life, he makes that claim good by rolling back the dark door of death itself, himself. You see, the Christian claim is that nothing other than death was defeated in time and in space on the day when he stepped out of the grave in Jerusalem. Now that will provoke, I know, loads of questions. How can we believe today that a dead man did not stay dead? Do again push me on that afterwards if you'd like some more detail. We can't possibly cover everything in one go. But the early church, from the very first day, said, preached, died for the claim that this man, Jesus Christ, is still now the resurrection and the life because he is the living one. And that is why true hope can be found in him, the one person who was perfect and not subject to sin and brokenness within himself, the one person in history who broke our world's cahoot with entropy, the one person for whom death was not the final word, the one person who has gone out beyond all corruption, all confusion, all attack, and now reigns at the right hand of God. True hope can be found in him. Not just knowing stuff about him, not being able to say lots about him, but believing in him. And do you see with me as we come to a close that is where Jesus himself goes? He doesn't say, do lots to have hope. He doesn't say, find the best plan for your life now. He simply asks a question to Martha, who's just lost her brother. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? And the question asked of Martha is the question asked of every reader of John's Gospel since. It is the question asked of each of us this evening. Do you, singular, in all your hopes and in all your fears, in all your joys and in all your sorrows, do you believe this? And Martha's answer is the one that Jesus himself longs for. Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who is to come into the world. You see, hope is not a vague thing with feathers, a lovely presence like a songbird that merely comforts us gently in the midst of sorrows. No, hope is found in the living Jesus Christ. And so our hope is not this shrinking, weightless, and gone with the wind reality. It is confident and it is clear, outside of ourselves, but in a place that it can never perish, spoil, or fade. And so the question for each of us is, who do you say Jesus is? Do you believe what he says? Let me say that if these ears, if these words are falling on your ears as skeptical, then you're hugely welcome, as I've said. And all I would ask is, are you willing to be skeptical of your skepticism? Why not drop an email in and try and have a chat with us afterwards, or drop me an email personally? I'd love to hear from you. Even better, why not ring the Christian friend who's invited you and see if they might read John's Gospel with you and ask your questions and see if Jesus can bear the weight of them, because he offers to bear the weight of your life and your death and your eternity. If you're someone listening who's wanting it to be true but just isn't certain, well, to you too, why not take the next step, investigate the claims of Jesus, especially that he rose from the dead, and see that in him, just as so many have down the years, is found a certain anchor for the soul. And you know, it may well just be that there is one person listening who was skeptical, who was intrigued, but maybe now says, you know, I'm ready to believe in this man, Jesus. I don't have all the answers, but my answer is the same as Martha's: yes, Lord. Well, if that's you, this would be a wonderful night to start following the one who is the resurrection and the life. And I'd invite you, if that's you, just to echo the prayer I'm about to pray quietly in your heart. All I'd ask is one thing of you. Let us know. Let someone who invited you know. Please feel free to drop me a line and let me know. We'd love to stand with you and walk with you as you begin following this one who gives hope. I'm going to close in prayer, and then we're going to finish with our final song, and before Matty takes us through how questions might work if anyone has emailed in. Let me just pray briefly. Dear God, we thank you for the chance to listen in this evening. Whatever our position of faith in Jesus Christ, please help us to grapple with the question he asks us as to whether we believe his claim to be the resurrection and the life, his claim to be the only sure place for our hope in this broken world in which we live as broken and sinful people. Father, please, we pray, be with us now as we finish. And for any who have questions, please, we pray that they might ask them, and that where possible, we can answer them with humility and with clarity. For each one, therefore, Lord, help us and guard us and give us hope that lasts even into eternity. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.